right. Again, I'm glad y'all are here. Well, turn your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 18. Chapter number 18. And I was thinking a little bit about hospitality. And the Lord and two angels come to Abraham's house on this day. And he parked them out under a shade tree, and we're going to see that in a few minutes. And he fed them, and he took care of them, and talked with them, and walked with them. And then we're going to see that all good things happened to Abraham there. But on the next chapter, if we get that far next week, we're going to find out he went to Lot's house, and Lot brought him on in the house. Well, actually, he brought the two angels in the house. He didn't bring the Lord in the house, because the Lord wasn't there when the angels were there. But he brought them in the house, and bad things took place. So we'll take a look at some of this stuff, and so I can prove no point either way about being a good hospitality person or a bad hospitality person, because one did good hospitality and good things happened, the other one did good hospitality and bad things happened. So we'll see. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, and he sat in his tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye in your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted to his tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto his herd, and he fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for God, for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence, and he looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And if I've said it before, I think I've said it at least once, that God never does something that he doesn't show his people or tell his people about. So he said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I'm fixing to go do? He said, Seeing Abraham surely thing that I which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, which he will command his children and his household after him, and obey, and they shall keep my ways, the ways of the Lord, and do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come to me. If not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, And Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near, and he said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare this place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after that manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, Lord, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes, humbling himself. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for this 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, Peradventure there shall 30 be found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing, Abraham returned into his place. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this night, Lord, and thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, help us to look at some of these things and see what's going on in them, and that we may give you glory and praise and honor in all the things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here Abraham's in the heat of the day, sitting in his house, in the front of his tent there. Get him a big old tree, an oak tree or a big tree outside there. And if you get the gist of it, he's probably got some tables and some chairs set up out there, because what better place to the cooler heat of the day than sit out under a good shade tree, looking down the road, seeing what's going on, seeing what's happening, seeing if somebody's coming up that may need some help or whatever. He says he's there in the plain, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, three men stood before him. That doesn't mean that necessarily they were right here, because he says in the next verse, and he ran down to meet them, to greet them. So somehow they just appeared down there in his vision, where they were, whether they came from heaven or came from around the hill. I'm kind of figuring they appeared down, just came out of heaven and just landed right there, and he laid his eyes on them. He says, wow, let me run down here and see these three guys, see if they need anything, let's see what's going on with them. In fact, there's three of them there, and one commentator seemed to think that it might be representation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we've never seen any place in the Bible where the Father ever takes the place of a man, so you could use it as a typology, I suppose. But it says here that these three came, and we know one of them without a doubt was Jesus Christ. One of them for sure was Jesus Christ. The other two, probably most likely good angels. And he says here that they came, and he ran out to meet them, and he bowed himself to the ground. He might not have known at the very first that they were Christ and two angels, but he ran out there, and he could tell by their attire and stuff that they were worthy people to be acknowledged. And he bowed down to them, to the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor, in other words, if you've seen it worthy to come into my house, you've seen it worthy to stop at my place, if you've seen it where I am fit for you to come visit with me. He says, if I have found favor, and some people say that's grace to be saved, but he's already saved, he's already been saved. So he's found favor to come to visit. Now, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I don't know where you're heading. I don't know what your business is, but stop in here for a few minutes. Stop in here and lounge with me. Stop in here and talk with me. Stop in here and rest yourself at my house. Stay, I pray thee, come in with me. And he prayed for his servants, and he says, take a little water. Let me take a little water, I pray you, and fetch it, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Under the tree. This must have been a fine tree. So he says, let me fetch some water. That's a good, friendly thing to do in those days. You're barefoot, you got your sandals on, you're walking on the hot sand out there. They come wash their feet, they clean themselves up, they refresh themselves. He says, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. And after that, you shall pass on. So after you've rested, after you've washed your feet, after you've eaten, then maybe if you ain't got anything else, you're just going to do your own business. But I'm willing to hear however long you want to take to be with you and commune with you and talk with you. He says, and after you've done that, rested and eaten, you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. In other words, why have you come to your servant? What's your business? What you got on your mind? For therefore you become to your servant that you may rest here and eat here and maybe speak with me here. And he says, as thou hast said, so do. So in other words, you've talked about getting water. You've talked about making some food. Get her done. Let's get to eating. Let's get to cleaning up. Let's get to resting. He says, go ahead and do this. And Abraham says, okay. And Abraham hasted. And the first thing he does, he goes see Sarah. And he says, Sarah, whoop us out 3 measures of meal. Whoop us out 3 cakes. A measure, back then they had to figure out for a man would eat so many parts or pieces, and a measure was what a man would eat at a meal. So he says, she knew right off the bat when he said 3 measures that there was 3 guys outside. Right off the bat, she didn't have to question. She never got to question, how many you got out there? 3 measures. What 3 men would eat in a meal. So he says, measure out, haste, and take haste unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Fine meal now, just not old coarse ground up rough stuff, but fine meal. And knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. In other words, baby, there's some guests outside. I need you to make some cakes. I need you to make things ready. We're going to be hospitable to these folks. We're going to feed them and wash them and whatever else they need. And he says, while she was making the cakes, I don't know how long it takes to make a couple of biscuits, but it's not very long. But this guy that dressed out in that calf, now he had super speed. Because it says here, and he went quickly, and Abraham ran to the herd, and he fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Now he dressed this thing out and started cooking it, and got it barbecued or sauteed or souped or whatever he did with it. He got it done pretty fast like. So by the time the biscuits and the cakes were ready, the meat was ready. Now I'm figuring, young calf, we're getting maybe tenderloin and maybe some ribeyes and stuff like that. So he's got the choicest meats that he's going to bring out and set before these 3 guys. It says here, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it for them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Abraham didn't eat with them. They ate 3 measures of meal. And he watched as they ate. So he was their servant. If they needed a glass of water, they needed a glass of something to milk, whatever they needed, he was right there ready and waiting for whatever the Lord and those 2 angels needed. He was their waiter. We're supposed to be kind of like that, waiters. We're supposed to be waiting for the Lord to see what he needs. Ready at the beck and call to do whatever he needs. You need some more water, you need some more milk, you need some more butter, Lord, you need some more biscuit, whatever you need, Lord, we'll get it. It says he was waiting under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Now we know Jesus knew exactly where Sarah was, but to keep things going, to keep Abraham on his toes, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent, Lord. She's over there in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. He'd already told him he was going to have a son the last chapter back. He'd already told him all about what was going to take place. He already told him that they were going to have a son within a year's time. And at a certain time, he says, now he's reaffirming that promise about the son. He's reaffirming that promise about Isaac. He says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now we understand that Sarah was right at 90 years old. Abraham's 100 years old right at it, or maybe over, a little over 100 years. It says, and Sarah heard it in the tent, and she was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah as the manner of women is. In other words, all her productivity stuff had quit. She was just a nice elderly lady. And he was just kind of a nice elderly guy, enjoying a nice tree where the tent was. But God said, I'm going to change that. I'm not going to change it for being elderly, but I'm going to fix it where you still have a child. I'm going to fix it where you can still have a son. Therefore, Sarah left. She wasn't laughing and ridiculing what he said, but it sort of made her chuckle. She says, really? That would be something, wouldn't it? For me to have a child in my old age? For me to have a son? It says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself. And Isaac means laughter, if you know that. Laughed within herself. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also? In other words, he's kind of old too. We don't kind of do that no more. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Wherefore did Sarah laugh? We laugh a lot of times in front of God too because we're embarrassed or upset. We kind of say we said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing and we try to cover it up with laughter or whatever. But she did sort of chuckle and laugh. And he says, talking to Abraham now, because she said she laughed within herself. Abraham probably didn't even hear the laugh. But yet God asked him, he says, why did Sarah laugh? He says, shall I of a surety bear children which am I old? Is anything, and this is the best verse I could find for tonight, is anything too hard for the Lord? If we got that down right now, if we understand, there is nothing too hard for God. God created everything. He can surely fix it where an older person, if he chooses, could have a child. He can fix it where two old people, if he chooses, could have a child. God can do anything if he wants it done. He says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, the answer to that question is no. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And then he says, at the appointed time, or at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now that means to me that the Holy Spirit had to come back and get involved in this thing a little bit to make sure it took place just the way it's supposed to take place, because he says, I will return unto you and I will make sure this thing happens. I will make sure it happens in the time it's supposed to happen, within the 9-month period it's supposed to take place in. Everything according to natural childbirth is going to take place, and I'm going to make sure it takes place. He says, I will return. Then Sarah denied having, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid. I'd have been afraid. And she said, nay. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And I think he was kind of sort of grinning at her when he said, nay, but you did laugh. Yeah. I'm not trying to put down what you did, but I'm going to do this thing I'm telling you I'm going to do. I'm going to make... You remember, she already got a little bit sideways with God by saying, I don't know if my husband's going to be able to have a child with me. I'm going to bring Hagar over here. She got a little bit ahead of the program and tried to have a son through Hagar. And that caused all kind of commotion that we're still dealing with. But he says, nay, but you did laugh. You did laugh. And all at that time, the men rose up. Now I want you to understand, let's look at these men for a few minutes, just a second. First of all, we understand they're angels. We understand that one was Jesus Christ. We understand that they could eat. They could swallow. They could talk. They could walk, and they look very much like men. So some people say, well, angels are just spirits. Well, these undoubtedly aren't just spirits, because they could eat and drink and have fellowship and have talk, and you could actually touch them and feel them and look at them, because the food disappeared as they ate. It says, and the men rose up and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on their way, and he was walking with them, talking with them. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? In other words, Abraham is my friend. Abraham is my chosen one. Abraham is the one that's going to bring forth this child and make things happen and get things started. Abraham is my man that I'm going to start this whole nation with. He says, should I hide what I do from him? Should I hide the way I do business from him? Should I hide the things that's going to happen from him? And we notice that when later on when he deals with Israel, and And he brings Israel into the promised land. He says, if you'll do this and this and this and this, you'll be blessed and have fruits and vegetables and long life and all these things and stuff like that. He says, if you do this, then he turns around about four chapter verses later and he says, but you're not going to do this. And you're going to do this, and this is what's going to happen. So he says, let me also tell Abraham what I'm fixing to go do. Let me tell Abraham what's fixing to take place. I don't want Abraham to be surprised and think that I would not be a friend with him and discuss things with him. Not that he owes him anything. He says, this thing that I'm going to do, he says, for I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. He knows him, firstly, because he has saved him. He has put the love of God in him. He's not a perfect man yet. He's not a sinless man. But he says, I know him, and I know he will teach his children. He'll raise up his family. He'll teach them to do the law of the Lord. He'll teach them to do the judgments of the Lord. He'll teach them to do justice, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him. In other words, because I know this man, this promise that I've already made him, this promise of him having becoming a nation, this promise of him being heir to the promised one, the Savior of the world is coming, because I know him and what's going to happen, I need to tell him these things. And the Lord said, because the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. The cries of Sodom and Gomorrah are very great, and their sin is very grievous. And I'm not going to get into all their sin, but they were doing some atrocious things. They were doing some, in fact, if we get in the next chapter, the next time we come to this thing, we're going to see they were doing some very atrocious things. And it says here that their cry of them, their sins have been brought up to me, and the people have talked to me, and the messages come to me that these people are doing very wicked and very grievous sins. And I will go down now. He's talking to Abraham. He says, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. In other words, I'm not just going to take the word of the messenger. I'm actually going to go down myself before I destroy this city. I'm going to look at it myself. I'm going to see what they're doing myself. And I'm going to make judgment myself. So when God makes judgment, he makes it from his view, not from hearsay or hope so or somebody else come up with things. Oh, Lord, you don't know what they're doing. He says, oh, yeah, I know what they're doing. Yeah. I've looked. I've seen. He says, according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me, if not, I will know. In other words, when I get there, if what I've heard about them is not true, if what I've been hearing is not true, then I will know. I will know. The men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And so we got the two angels continuing to walk toward Sodom. We got Abraham and Jesus, or the Lord, standing there talking still. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? It says, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy it, destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And first of all, first time I read this, where in the world did you get 50 righteous people from? And then I thought about it. Lot and all of his family, that's about 10, if they're all the daughters got married, that is. That's about 10. And if we remember when Lot and Abraham split, he had his own herds, he had his own people, he had his own folks with him. There just might have been 50 of Lot's people there, a congregation of believers right there. There might have been. Abraham's thinking pretty big. Maybe there's 50 of them down there, Lord. Would you save them if there were 50 of them there? And the Lord says, far be it from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. If I find 50, I'll take it. It's done deal. I'll walk off. I'll leave them right where they're at. And I'm thinking, you know, Abraham didn't quit interceding for them until he got down to 10. Now, 10, he might have been saying, I might be pushing this too far, or I might make God mad. But sometimes I think maybe when we're asking God for things, we stop at 50. Well, maybe we sort of bring it on down to 10 sometime and just, Lord, if it's just one left over there, would you? Wouldn't you, please? Save that one left. Take care of that one that's left. So he says here, for 50, he says, for their sake I won't do it. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. In other words, he humbled himself. He says, look, I understand that I'm just dirt. I'm just dust. I'm just ashes. I'm not even worthy really to be talking to you about this kind of thing. He said, I'm just dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack five. And at first he started going down by fives. Says there lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? Would you, Lord? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. If I find there 40 and five, God's already got his words worked out right. If I find 40 and five, that would make Abraham be thinking, if. Let me get this a little bit better, because if don't give me no good business. He says, if. And he spake unto him yet again, and he said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He's still breaking her down by five right here, and he's still trying to hope that there's still some more there. He's trying to say, he said, if there's 30 of them there, Abraham, I'll let them go. I'll let them go. Abraham's still counting up the people. He says, well, the herdmen, they might not have got right. The shepherds might not have got right. The outer family members still might not have got right. They've been going a pretty good while. They've been hanging around Sodom and Gomorrah. They might not be right. He said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. He's hoping he can stretch this thing out a little bit, maybe 20 of them. Maybe somebody's got some children or something. There'd be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. I will not do it for the 20's sake. And Abraham says, well, let me see. You got Lot. You got his wife. He's got four daughters. They got two of them married, I know. And the other two, they might have gotten married since the last time I was there. That would make 10. 10. He stepped back up to the plate. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. 10, Lord. Now, I'm sure that there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this town. Maybe even thousands. It says, if there be just 10, that don't even make a percentage mark on that bunch of people, really. If there be 10, shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. For 10's sake. Now that's showing some mercy right there, because those people, we know what they were doing. We know what they were up to. If there had just been 10 righteous people in Sodom, he said, if there's 10, I'll leave it alone. If there's 10, I'll let them go. If there's 10, that's hoping good, because he said, hope some of them got married. Hope some of them's in church. Hope some of them's doing right. He said, if there's 10, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. He quit talking at that point. The Lord says, Abraham, you've had enough chances to say as much as you need to say. We've got it down to the lowest common denominator, and I still know what I'm going to do, because there's not 10 of them there. We're going to find out in the next chapter. There's not 10 of them there. So I said, and the Lord went his way. I don't know if Abraham called him a step or two or whatever, but he realized the conversation was over. The Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So they had this talk, they got it down to 10, and when the Lord says at the very second, he says, for 10's sake, Abraham, I'll not do it. And he turned and walked away. He didn't let him have another. He'd already had 4 or 5 goes at it. And he probably figured, with 10, I'm probably okay. For 10, I'm going to be all right. He said, and he turned and went his way. And I don't want to get into the next chapter tonight, but I want you to understand, there wasn't 10. There wasn't 10. So I want to try to say here tonight, we need to learn how to talk to God, not argumentatively and not murmuring or complaining, but we need to be willing to go to the bat for people, unless they've sinned a sin that's against salvation. We need to be willing to go to a bat with people that they might have opportunity to be saved. We need to be willing to spend our time on our knees communing with God. Lord, if there's 50 over there in that city over there, if there's 5 in so-and-so's family, if there's 10 in so-and-so's family, Lord, if there's just this or that, would you save them? Would you help them? And I understand all this is according to God's will, just like this right here is according to God's will. He brought it down from 50 to 10. If there be 5, if there be 45, if there be 30, if there be 35. Lord, I don't want to stretch this thing out too much, but Lord, don't be angry with me, Lord, but if there's just 10, would you let them go? And the Lord said, if there be 10, I'll let them go. And he walked off. And there's also a time when we need to know that we've said our prayer, we've said amen, we've laid it at the foot of Jesus, and we need to let it go. We've done what we can do. I understand that we pray for folks who are sick, we pray for folks who are ailing, we pray for all kinds of things, and I don't ever want to give up. My mom said the other night when I talked to her, she says, I almost want to pray that God would take her on so she wouldn't hurt so much. And I'm sitting here, I understand that concept, but I don't want to take her on yet because I don't think she's saved. She may not get saved, but I don't want to rush her home if God's got something else to do with her. On the other hand, we're stuck putting a lot of hard spot because I don't want to see her hurt no more either. But I understand this, if she's not saved, the hurting she's doing right now is not bad compared to the hurting she'll be doing when she gets where she's going. So when the concept of, well, she won't hurt no more, only works if they're in Christ. It won't hurt no more, she'll be okay if she passes on, only works if you know they're saved. And I'm not saying that I know she's saved, but I'm saying if there's the evidence that you think that she's saved, because if there's no evidence there, I can't sit here and say, well, I know she's going to be in heaven. If she's been living her life like the devil all of her life, I can't sit here and honestly look at myself in the mirror and say, she'll be in heaven when I get there. I know better than that. I'm not fooled by that. And y'all ain't either. Y'all know things like that. But it says here, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep asking the Lord, if it be possible, if it be possible for the one that's got the cancer over here and the one that's got the heart problem over here and the one that's got this going on and that going on, Lord, if it be possible, would you spare them? Would you take care of them? Would you save them? Lord, your will be done, but I'm going to intercede, just like Abraham did. Abraham knew God was going to do what he's going to do, but instead he said, Lord, please don't be angry with me, but let me ask you just one more time. Let me just come to you one more time. And if you really read John in the back, it says, when we say our prayers, knowing that we have a petition for him, knowing you have a petition doesn't mean you know you get an answer. Knowing you have a petition, like going to the courthouse, you file your writ, you put your paper down, you lay it there at the judge's desk. It's up to the judge to pick the thing up and do something with it. You have a petition. You're asking for an answer, but you don't always get the answer you want. You have a petition. We should always be bringing our petitions to the Lord. We should always be bringing our petitions And we should always in our mind say, Lord, if they be 10, if they be 3 or 4 in that family, that would you save them, Lord? If they just be some over there, would you take care of them? Would you heal that cancer? Would you heal that broke leg problem? Would you heal the eye problem? Would you take care of those things that are going on with these folks? We need to put our petitions up there. And when we don't get our way, we don't need to get mad. Abraham didn't get mad. He didn't get angry. He didn't say, oh man, he didn't listen to me. God listened to him the whole time. God answered him the whole time. God communed with him just like he was talking to a friend. And he does the same with us. When we go boldly before the throne, not presumptuously, but when we go boldly before the throne of grace, he listens to us just like he did to Abraham. And he listens to what we have to say. And he listens to the way we say it. And he knows our heart's concerns. And he bottles all that stuff up and he hangs on to it. Says, if there be 10, I'll let them go. If there be 10. 10's not a big number compared to what was there. Brother Keith, would you dismiss us, please?
Father, we do thank you for the grace and mercy that you showed.